This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Third hour of the program. Adam Carter in for Chad Hartman on a Wednesday afternoon. Dubsy, Chris Dubs is in. Susie Jones is on her last leg, apparently, over there. Let me ask you a serious question.
Okay. Here.
My father died, what is today, the 29th?
Mm-hmm.
So 19 days ago.
19.
How long can I use my father died as an excuse to get out of things?
6 months.
6 months.
Yep.
Without hesitation, you said that.
Mm-mm. Because grief is real. People in this country don't understand it. They think you should snap out of it in mm-hmm. 3 or 4 days. And
but I'm talking even, can I use it? Like, let's say I just don't want to do something.
Oh,
can I say, you know, my dad died?
No,
By the way, I'm having this conversation before anybody texts me. He's like, this is just... Okay. My dad would have loved this conversation, by the way.
He probably would have said,
right, how long can I
hours.
Use it? No, he would have said, use it as far long as you want.
Yeah, whatever you need. I don't know, maybe 19 days, 20 days. What do people say? Are they already jumping on you? 651.
No, somebody says this is why y'all aren't on FM. Y'all, good use of y'all, but I don't know why. Why aren't we on it with this? Why?
I don't can't know.
Can't talk about death and can't talk about this on FM?
I don't know. That's a funny comment.
We'll reply.
That's a funny comment.
Well, text, come on back, text 651-461-9226. The reason I bring it up, because I saw a thing about the other day.
About grief?
Not about grief. It's about... Excuse me.
Good Lord. What is happening over there?
I don't know. What's happening to both of us? We're falling apart in the air.
You're hawking up a loogie.
You know, you have FOMO, which is fear of missing out.
Yes.
But there's another thing called JOMO, and that is joy of missing out.
Yeah.
Because if you're an introvert, you're all about JOMO.
Mm-hmm.
Because you find joy in not having to go to things and missing out of certain things. Is this something that you've experienced? The reason that's why I'm asking, if I don't want to go to something, if I want, can I use, how long can I use the excuse that my father passed away?
I mean, I think that that might have be gone now. I don't think after 19 days, that's not going to be so imminent. But I will say one thing, and you tell me if this texter is telling us what the difference between AM and FM is, but that's fine. I will say,
talking about the news report. That's what they said. That's a shot at you.
Oh, really?
Wow.
What did I do?
I don't know.
A lot of things wrong. But I wanted to say to you, I get sort of hung up on introvert, extrovert, because I'm probably, I'm an extrovert. But
no, come on. You?
But I love canceling things. Yeah. I love saying, oh, I'm not really feeling well tonight. I think I'm going to stay in.
Yeah.
Can we reschedule dinner? I just want to stay inside. I love canceling things. Just because I like to have nothing to do.
So do I. I just like, you know what? I just want to go home, just chill out,
yep.
Be with my people.
So
my
why can't
family.
You just say I don't want to do it in the first place? Why do you make a plan?
We're hard. It's a hard thing for people to do to say that. Why can't you? And because I would feel offended. Like, hey, you want to go? Nah, I just want to stay home. I'd be like, wow, thanks a lot, Susie.
It is a little insulting.
It is a little insulting.
Yeah, but then you flake out, and I'd be even more upset. It's like, well, if you keep flaking out, I'm not going to ask. And maybe the ultimate goal, I guess, is for you guys to not have any friends or do anything.
That'd be all right with me. No, I'm kidding. No, I think that I do a lot. And so sometimes I load up my schedule. I look at my calendar. I have every night of the week I have something. And I think, oh, I hate that.
Well, then why do you do it?
I don't know. Because I like, I have joy and I love people and I want to do fun stuff.
My wife just texted me asking if we're all okay over here.
I would imagine, yeah. We do sound like we're off our nut slightly.
But do you, so the 651-461-9226, do you find joy in missing out? And not like, oh, I miss, but do you find joy in being able to just kind of say, you know what, not doing it, I'm doing my own thing? Or like Vanita. Vanita is like obsessed with having to go to everything. And God bless her, because she's like every single game she's at.
And she's joyful.
Joyful about it. Has to go to all the stuff. It's like that that exhausts me just thinking of that.
Watching it.
Because.
Like, and she gets up early.
I know.
Good Lord.
So to me, it's like, I am totally about it. I left Bruce Springsteen early, which I will never, ever live down, because I just, you know, I just wasn't feeling it. Sometimes you're just not feeling
it. You're not feeling it. And that's okay. We got to be good to ourselves. We just beat ourselves up constantly.
So has there ever been a time where you've regretted, like, or you've canceled on someone and then maybe they were hurt by that?
Were hurt by it. I have had that happen to me, right, where they've called me out and said, listen, I set this date aside for us to go out.
Yeah. And you want to explain who it was? And like,
it was a friend. It was a gal friend from the program, and we were going to go out, and I pulled a I don't feel good, and it was like, just remember, when you do that, you're mm-hmm. not just, oh, I'm off the hook. You're also, somebody else has made plans and made, you know, certainly not get a babysitter or anything, but still, you know, you set aside that time to see someone. So,
yeah, I mean, you're an excuse queen. I mean, how many times have you called in sick with various just different excuses?
Have either one of you guys ever been busted?
How many fake COVID? How many times have you had quote unquote COVID?
No, you know what, though? I'll be honest. I have stopped taking mental health days mm-hmm. as much as I used to.
Well, that's good.
It really is. And partly because I love my job and I love you guys. And it's, I don't want to say this because I don't want the bosses to hear. It's not heavy
They're
lifting.
Not listening.
You know, heavy lifting. You know, right, I know what I'm doing.
Right. You're not going into, you know, break up rocks into little rocks.
Yeah,
Derek used
to
say.
No, I can do it.
Not filling potholes out there.
And we're down people now. We've got Rusty left, Paul left. So, you know, if I go, oh, I'm feeling foo-foo.
It was Jeff Gonsales just looked in. And he watched you and he shook his head. So I think you're in trouble.
I do, too.
I find joy in missing out on my in-law get-togethers.
Oh, there you go.
So people are like, loss and grief can last for as long as you experience it. Yeah. That's the thing. No, I get that. And yes, grief hits you, and it's so weird.
Because,
like,
so
I'll have a good day, and I'll go home at night. Like today, I was driving in. It's like, you know, there's sometimes when I'm just in the car, and I'm feeling good about, and I'll just call someone. Mm-hmm. And this very rarely happens for me because I'm not that kind of guy. But I was just thinking, oh, I'll call my dad. But like, oh, I can't. I'll never call him again.
Oh,
and, you know, and it's like, and that's grief. But I'm saying, how long can I use the excuse, even though maybe I'm not feeling the grief at that moment, but I just don't want to go.
I think you should talk to your listeners. I believe someone has called with sage advice for you on this matter.
All right.
Could be Jimmy from West St. Paul.
Oh, Bruce Springsteen has called in. Bruce, go ahead.
Hey, Adam, it's Bruce Springsteen calling.
Bruce, I talked to you a couple weeks ago. Have you forgiven me for walking out of your show? Thanks, Susie.
No, I haven't. And I like to, when I answer, I like to sing.
Yeah.
No, I haven't, Adam, and I wish that I could forgive you. I dig down deep, and I can't quite forgive you, and I hear that love that Susie Jones.
Yeah. I heard this the other day, Bruce. Before we take a break, I got to take a break, but up against it. I heard you only eat one meal a day. Is that true?
Oh, I eat many meals a day. I don't know where you're getting that information from, son.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, Bruce eats many meals a day. Hey, baby. Hey, little Adam, you come to my concert. I'm in Barcelona, but I'll save you a seat, son.
I'd love to come to Barcelona to see you, Bruce.
Oh, the only problem is when you're singing in Barcelona, you got to say, hey, senorita, not hey, baby.
Is this Elvis or Bruce Springsteen? Some days, radio, man, it's the future. 217 WCCO.
Especially on the AM.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Jomo, the joy of missing out. Some texter to the City's One Plumbing Talk and text line. By all means, chip in. If Bruce Springsteen's listening to the show and he called in, thank you again, Bruce, the boss. By all means, call in. 651-461-9226.
You want Bruce to call in again?
No, Bruce. We've heard from Bruce today.
Okay.
Sometime in the future, though, absolutely.
Okay.
But one call per show, that's my philosophy. Somebody asking where Susie and I get our edibles.
We've got an edible guy, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's legal now, so
that's pretty much anywhere. That's the joy.
I canceled my own birthday dinner, not knowing 20 of my dearest and nearest friends planned a surprise. I have not canceled a dinner ever since. Now, that would be bad. And how do you? Okay, yeah. So you cancel, then I guess they have to tell you, like, but you know, we were going to surprise you.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like everybody's going to go out of their way to make plans, and all of a sudden you're inconveniencing everybody else. Just say, I'm not feeling it.
I was the happiest person in the world when COVID had everything shut down, so I didn't have to go anywhere. People to come to the yard and sit around having a couple adult beverages, and they would leave. No big get-togethers. Having to go somewhere on a nice Sunday afternoon. That's from a texter. 651-461-9226. Yeah, some days I just find it, but I do have FOMO a lot. It's like, man, I wish I would have been there. I wish I would have been seen that. But it's mentally relieving. There's a mental relief to just being able to go home and not have any, like Susie said, just not have any plans and just. Doesn't mean you have to, you know.
You just sit in your fat pants and you watch TV.
Fat pants, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's nothing. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But, I mean.
Somebody said text, though, if you make plans, you should keep them. If you don't want to go out, mm-hmm. just say no. That's just it. It's like some people would rather lie. It's easier to lie and say, hey, I'm not feeling well or I got this, than just say, nah, I don't want to go out.
But see, then, you know, if you're going to make plans, you know, like 2 weeks out and you know you don't want to go through with it, mm-hmm. then. You're just waiting until the right time to say, I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
And I mean, that to me, that would wear on me more. If I'm like, okay, well, I know my friend wants to go out, but I know I don't want to. And I said, well, yeah, I'll do it. And then it's like, well, when do I have to call and tell him that I don't want to go?
Mm-hmm. You can talk about or use the grief of the death of your dad as long as you want. My dad's been a year and a half. My dad has been gone a year and a half. And it hits me sometimes so hard, I still don't want to do anything. God bless. That's right. You know, that's true. I mean, grief hits you in the strangest ways, and it's not like you reach a certain point 6 months out or whatever, and you're done grieving. That affects people differently. I just saw this headline, a couple of kind of a potpourri of topics here before we talk to Do Young Park from MLB.com to preview the Twins, who start their season tomorrow. By the way, pregame here tomorrow, 2:30 in the afternoon, before Twins and Royals from Kauffman Stadium at 3:10. Now, Pablo Lopez on the mound for the Twins. 25 years ago today, March 29th, 1998. I sound like Casey Kasem. I'm like doing a long-distance dedication. Do you remember what happened on 1998? The number one hit of the... No, it was the tornado that hit St. Peter and Comfrey. Mm-hmm. That big tornado. I could not believe... So I was a student at Gustavus Adolphus College. Graduate of the class of 1998. We say that's the tornado class. I wasn't there at the time, though. I was at my first radio job in beautiful Tama, Iowa, in the middle of eastern Iowa. And I was the morning show host. And I came in that morning. I forget what day it was. I thought it was a Tuesday when the tornado hit. Maybe it was a Wednesday morning and I had to look. But I came in and CBS News would play at the top of the hour. Actually, we had ABC. So it was ABC News, top of the hour news. And their first story was about how a tornado hit St. Peter, Minnesota. And I could hardly believe it because, A, it was late March. You know, you think tornado time in this part of the country, you're thinking, you know, June, you know, late May, June, July, but spring and summer. So it was shocking to me. And then I'll never forget hearing about the devastation and how bad it was. And I think a young man or a kid lost his life, if I remember right. But my sister, who also was a student at Gustavus, she was the class of 93, so she had already graduated. She drove through St. Peter like minutes after the tornado hit. And she broke down sobbing because of the devastation that it left. You know, 169, which goes through kind of the main street there of St. Mm-hmm. Peter, if you've never been through there,
yeah,
just devastated it. And she broke down sobbing because of, you know, this is where she went to school, this beautiful little bucolic little town of St. Peter. And she saw the devastation. It was horrible for her. Now, I was in Iowa. I actually came back for graduation because I was actually done with credits by then. And still, so this would have been, you know, June, I guess, early June when commencement was. And it was, I could not believe it. And still to this day, you know, when you drive down 169, I don't go down there often, but when you come down 169, you can see Gustavus up on the hill now. You never were able to do that because of all the trees up there. But yeah, it really hit the campus hard, and that's something that I'll never forget. And then I remember I went to one of my friends who graduated Gustavus with, graduated, who was in my classmate. He was actually a St. Peter resident. And we went to his house, and his house was untouched, and the house next to him and like the two houses next to him were completely gone, just destroyed. So the tornado had like skipped over his house, and I'll never forget that. And so 25 years ago, boy, that ages me too. That means my 25 reunion is coming. But it's powerful. I just remember that and how it transformed. And not only that, but the output. You see this all the time when a community is hit by a flood or a tornado or some sort of natural disaster. Just the fact that people come out, clean up, help each other out, help their neighbor out, and pick each other up. It was true there, and it was true for other spots. But also I mentioned my sister, who is undergoing her first chemotherapy treatment today. She was diagnosed with breast cancer. The prognosis is good for Sarah, but if you can keep my sister in your thoughts and prayers today as she undergoes her first chemotherapy. I texted her earlier today. She texted me saying, ready to go. And I said, I know you're going to feel like crap, but hang in there, and you got this, and she will, because she is a very strong person. So God bless my sister Sarah. All right, we're going to take a break. Twins start tomorrow. They open on the road in Kansas City, and there's a lot of optimism for your Minnesota Twins. We'll break it down with Do Young Park from MLB.com about what to watch for the Twins this year, the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's next on CCL. Hope springs eternal, man. That's the old saying. When baseball starts, every team starts, and there's hope for every single team. But for the Minnesota Twins this year, there is a lot of optimism, and for good reason. And I don't know much about the game, the ins and outs. I just know what I see on the field, and see what the moves that were made in the offseason. I have hope, certainly. Twins begin their season tomorrow in Kansas City, and that's where Do-Young Park is from MLB.com, where it's 57 degrees. So we're a little jealous as he joins us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Thank you, sir, for taking time. I know, obviously, you're extremely busy. When you look at this Minnesota Twins team, the optimism seems to be from a lot of folks, and it seems to be deserving because the Twins made a lot of moves this offseason. What are you most anticipating when this team takes the field tomorrow, Doe?
You know what? I think it's going to be just seeing all the depth that they've put together come to fruition. You know, they've put together a really depthy team, yep. But they've also got a lot of high-ceiling players in my mind in that sense. And tomorrow when the team takes the field, I think there's a sense of relief and a sense of fortune, and this is kind of where the optimism comes from too, in that Byron Buxton is going to be in that lineup. Carlos Correa is in that lineup. They got through spring training without any new injuries presenting themselves to take away from the major league roster that's going to be out there, not going in with any hugely serious long-term injury concerns right now. So I think it's the idea that we're going to get to see the vast majority of this Twins team as intended in its construction, take the field out there. And that's something that you really can't take for granted, given how the trajectories in the last couple seasons have gone. So that's what I'm looking for tomorrow when they take the field.
That's such a good point, and it's been a point in the preseason, even listening to the broadcasts, depth, depth, depth. It's a good spot to be in when you're trying to find spots for guys in the lineup and roster.
Yeah, no, without question. And I think the first spot you look at in that is Bailey Ober, who was the club's number three starter when they broke camp last year. He's got like a 3.80 ERA in the majors, 3.21 last year, I believe. And they have enough rotation depth that he doesn't have a spot on the team right now. That guy, I mean, is a really tough decision for him too. But he's going to start the season in AAA just because with how healthy they got through spring training, especially in the starting rotation, with how the stuff looked for the guys, especially with some of the guys in the rotation with injury questions, they're still at the point where they can rely on a quality major league starter as number six. And then they got North St. Paul guy, top prospect Louis Varland as their number seven. And so they're going really deep into these rotation questions. And that's a depth that they haven't had, certainly not last year, and not as long as I can remember being around this team, that's for sure.
Keeping it on the starting rotation, and this is something I've been thinking about, and you know much, much more about this than I do, but like a guy like Joe Ryan, you know, last year kind of thrust to the top of the rotation, and, you know, maybe wasn't ready for that kind of role, but now you got Kenta Maeda back, you got Pablo Lopez, Molly, the other arms there, that might help a guy like Joe Ryan. We could see like a bigger improvement from him this year, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, and I think it's always going to be an upward trajectory for Joe Ryan, where he came over in that Nelson Cruz deal, and they loved him because there was just so much to work with there. There's the fastball that was his bread and butter, and that was kind of the thing with Joe Ryan when he was coming up in the minors, and even when he was having his early success with the Twins in that rookie season back at the end of 21, he was very reliant on his fastball. It's a lot of fastballs all over the place, and to his credit, guys knew it was coming. They still couldn't make solid contact with it, but now we've seen the evolution of Joe Ryan. He found a slider that worked for him toward the end of last year that he felt really confident about. He's really refined that this offseason, and now he's coming in with a new split changeup, kind of like the one that Kenta Maeda throws. It's got a lot more dive to it, and he thinks that's going to be an effective third weapon that he didn't necessarily have last year, and certainly not coming up as a top prospect in the Tampa organization before that. So we've seen the evolution of the product on the field from him, and obviously he's kind of grown into his confidence. I think you have no choice but to be confident when the club names you the opening day starter, right? So he's really started to grow on that end, and he was never lacking for that to begin with, but I think we're really settling into a comfortable, confident Joe Ryan in the clubhouse and on the mound.
It's been some time, I think, since the Twins have been able to say we've got a surefired ace, a guy who on every fifth start you can circle it, that is, you're going to get a great performance. Is Pablo Lopez that guy?
I think they're hoping that he can be, but here's the thing about it. That's something that's been brought up a lot to me over the course of the offseason, right, is that the way a lot of fans have pointed out to me is they feel like it's a lot of numbers, two and three starters, that the Twins have assembled in this rotation without a true race. But here's the thing about modern baseball. There's maybe like 8-9 pitchers out there that can qualify as true aces. You know, the stoppers that'll go deep yeah. into games, yep. and really you feel just tremendous about him throwing a zero out there. You know, they're not that prevalent, and so in the absence of a guy like that, if you're the Minnesota Twins and you're not going to throw $200 million at a guy like that because of the risk involved with it, or you haven't developed a guy like that, then what can you do? You can build out the depth, and you can formulate a rotation where maybe there's some rotations where you go 1-5 and you feel great about your ace giving you a strong outing, and then that tails out with it. But what the Twins have done, especially going into this year, is every day, 6 deep, 7 deep in the starting rotation, whoever they throw out there, they feel like that guy is not going to lose them the game. They feel like that guy is going to go out there and give them a good chance to win the game, because these are all solid veteran starting pitchers that know what they're doing and have deep track records. And I think if you're a team like the Minnesota Twins, you're not going to have the deepest pockets to go after the like highest end starters.
Yeah.
I think that's what you got to do. You got to build a team with a high floor so that when injuries do take hold, and they will take hold because it always does for every team, you're going to put yourself in a position that the next guy up isn't going to represent a huge step back, because they've seen it year after year. It's always the depth that's going to get tested far more than you think.
Do-Young Parks with MLB.com joins us live on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline from Kansas City, where the Twins open the season tomorrow. What concerns you most about the Twins?
The health again.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's kind of a cop-out answer, but I think it's the only one that you can really look at, is that I think this team is going to be capable of a lot. I think there's a ton of talent on this, but I think we saw the bottom drop out last September because of health, and I think there is capacity for that. I mean, there is depth, obviously, and they've tried to build that out as much as possible, but there, even with depth, you can't really replace the production of a guy like Byron Buxton. You can't really replace the production of a guy like Carlos Correa to come to that. So I think they've been overly cautious with Byron Buxton. I think that's, you can't blame them. You saw what happened down the stretch without him last season. That's why they're going DH only with Buxton as the year starts, just because they're just trying to do everything in their power to keep him on the field as often as possible. And I think that goes for the rotation, too, where you got these veteran guys that have a high potential, but you got to keep them healthy. So I think there's a wide variance of outcomes that I see in this Twins team, and I think a lot of that is going to depend on the health, as it always does, as it always seems to do for this team.
Speaking of health, one of those issues is Alex Kirilloff. What is the hope for him this year, and what can we expect?
You know, I don't know that you know what to expect, just in the sense that we were just talking about this with him. As far as he knows, the only comparison as far as the issue that's been plaguing his wrist and the surgery that he's had to do was Kirk Gibson all the way back in the 1980s. As far as he knows, that's the only real comp there is. So I think that's been part of the routine in getting him back, is that you don't necessarily know, there's no precedent for how to build a guy up from the injury that he had, for the timeline or anything associated with that. So they've been really responsive. And obviously I think he's going to have to get used to just, this is what my wrist feels like now when I swing. I think there's still a little bit more soreness, but there hasn't been any setbacks or any new pain or any holding back he's had to do in the sense of what he had to do last year when he was first coming back from the first surgery. So I think right now it's just going to be a matter of just getting him to a point where he's comfortable swinging again, being consistent with that swinging, being consistent with the work day after day. And they're just going to have to continue to be reactive to that, because there's no set roadmap for this. They're hoping that it's not going to be a long-term thing. They're going to get him into games in the next couple weeks, and they're going to just ramp him up, see how he feels, and take it as it comes.
The construction of this bullpen, particularly with how Rocco wants to use it, and sometimes he's criticized for it, as are many managers nowadays, but the construction of the bullpen as it is now, your assessment of it as we enter the season here?
You know, I think it's a high, they got a lot of stuff in the bullpen, and a way that I haven't seen them have stuff in the bullpen in the past. And you go back to like the 2000s teams, you go back to the 2010s teams, you know, the Twins were never really a stuffed team. They weren't the guys throwing 100-mile-an-hour guys out there, wipeout sliders, that sort of thing. Well, that's what they got now, and I think they got a lot of high-potential guys, and their Joan Duran is a monster. I think he's going to be he certainly showed it last year, but I think he's really going to have a coming out party as one of the premier relievers in the game this year. I think Griffin Jacks is poised to take a huge step forward. You need to see a rebound from Jorge Lopez, who wasn't himself after he got traded over here last year. And Caleb Eobar only getting better with age. And I think some of the criticism that you were talking about is in the way that teams don't really set closers anymore.
Yes.
You know, I do expect Duran to maybe see a little more ninth innings this year, just because I think in terms of both workload and in terms of just getting him into impactful situations, that's where it'll come up. And no matter what Rocco has said about, we're not going to run a closer, he has drifted into in years past of just trying to rely more on one guy in those years. I think people get lost in what it's called or what it's not called or anything like that. Truth of the matter is, he's had Taylor Rogers in that role. He's had Sergio Romo in that role. He's had Jorge Lopez in that role last year after he came over. Yep. They're just not going to lock themselves into calling somebody a closer because they want to stay flexible with that in case 4, 5, 6 comes up in the eighth inning and not the ninth. But I do think that when push comes to shove, we'll probably see Duran shift a little more into that ninth inning role this year. But don't expect them to call him the closer because I think Rocco is then, and baseball as a whole are kind of moving beyond that, just vocabulary wise at this point.
Your assessment of the rule changes, how different is it going to be for fans this year with the rule changes and how the game will progress?
All right, let me tell you one thing. Everybody was up in arms about the pitch clock and the shift restrictions and everything like that going, and it was the talker. It was the talker throughout the offseason for good reason because it's a lot of change. By game 2 of spring training, I stopped noticing. I don't think it materially impacts the experience for any fans on the field, other than the fact that you will get out of there 30 to 45 minutes earlier than you otherwise would have in years past. And let me tell you, from players to coaches to executives to fans that I've talked to in spring training, everybody in between, just universal, let's go, thumbs up. This is great. I've seen the numbers behind it. It doesn't materially impact the stats on the field either, runs per game, offense, pitching, that sort of thing. The bigger bases lead to maybe a little bit more of the running aspect of it, which I understand makes it a more aesthetically pleasing product on the field too. But just aggregate stats-wise, speeding it up doesn't really impact that. And that's part of why they were comfortable making these changes this year. And, again, everybody – if you get a 640 game – time, as the Twins are doing a lot more this year, and the games are now 2.5 hours instead of 3.5 hours or 3 hours even, you can get a lot of families in here.
Yes.
That are like, all right, you're gonna be out of the ballpark by 9 o'clock.
Yep.
That's fantastic. That drums up interest. It keeps fans engaged, and more than anything else, I think it's just, you see there's a pleasant pace to the game.
Mm-hmm.
That there wasn't before. I don't think it's an urgency, but the pace is definitely pleasant, and I think baseball definitely needed that.
I'm looking forward to it. Last thing, I won't ask you to predict like a win total, but the ceiling for the 2023 Minnesota Twins is?
The ceiling is getting a couple rounds deep into the playoffs.
Yeah.
I really feel that. I mean, it's a wide variance of possible outcomes because I think this is a more injury-prone team as constructed than your average team in the majors. There's just no way around that. When it's a team that's built around two starters that were coming off injury concerns from last year, including a Tommy John returnee and Kenta Maeda, and when your best player on the field is Byron Buxton. There's no way of getting around that. But with the rotation depth, if they get to the playoffs, the top 6, maybe 7 guys in the rotation, those are all guys the Twins will feel comfortable starting a do-or-die playoff game. I really believe that. And then you get beyond that to the ceilings that you have in guys like Buxton and Correa and Jose Miranda, and I think Trevor Larnach's going to have a big year. I think there's a lot of potential there. I think a division title is well within reach for this team. I think, honestly, playoffs should be an expectation for this team based on how it's constructed, and I think the ceiling takes them beyond that into the division series, maybe championship series range.
Doe, I enjoyed our conversation. We'll be reading your stuff all year long, and enjoy the opening series and have a great season.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate the time.
Doe Young Park from MLB.com covering the Twins. We hear him on these airways quite a bit, and we appreciate his input. And I don't know, but hearing the crack of the bat constantly behind him as he was talking, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Even if it was fake, maybe Doe was just like in front of a sound machine that was doing it. But bravo, because That tells us spring is on the way. And it's at least it's warmer in Kansas City than it is here. 250 News Talk 830 WCCO. Back to wrap up the show and revisit what might have been the craziest call I've ever received. Steely Dan can't do much better than that. Peg.
Mm-hmm.
Little Michael McDonald.
Dude, I've been on this yacht rock kick.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's like I'll go from like 90s R&B hip hop.
Yep.
And then I'll just throw on my... You know, my
that's right.
My serious yacht rock.
Yep.
And let it go.
Throw on a Hawaiian shirt and some Sperry topsiders,
dude. I know I have listened to more Doobies and Michael McDonald. Yeah. I mean, I know he's a personal friend of yours.
Yes.
And Christopher
we're tight.
Cross.
Yep. Yeah. The Lindis Construction time check is 2:54. Time to get 50% off installation labor on Infinity from Marvin Windows. I didn't get to the topic about the Beard Awards. Lots of snubs for local chefs in the James Beard Awards, the prestigious James Beard Awards. I'm sure DeRusho is going to be talking about it. He's your food guy, so I'm sure that'll be part of his broadcast coming up today. I think courtside with DeRusho, as Chad calls it, comes up momentarily. But first, we had to revisit this call. Today, we started out the show talking about big purchases made without a spouse's prior knowledge. And we got a lot of responses about it. Really good stuff, too. But the call we got from Jerry in Windham kind of set us back. So let's revisit that. This is Jerry in Windham. Back to the phone lines we go. Jerry has called in from Windham. Go ahead, Jerry.
Thank you for taking my call. Back in 86, my wife of 20 years came home, and she had $28,000 in cash.
Whoa.
That's
pretty nice.
Well, I inquired as to where she came up with that money, because I didn't make that kind of money. She didn't make that kind of money.
Okay. Did she rob a bank?
Turns out she'd been at the casino.
Oh.
Won a ton of dough.
Well, that's pretty good.
She didn't tell me about it. Well, the problem was...
Well, I mean, it's...
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't know anything about it. And the problem was, she had probably lost hundreds of thousands of dollars at that same casino.
That's all. Yep.
And I didn't know anything about that. There were years where we just could not get ahead. And I'll admit it, I was drinking heavily at the time. And I did not keep close monitoring of where the finances were going. And we got upside down on some bad deals.
Yeah.
But she comes home.
Well, I mean, you had no idea
No, it's fully my fault.
I
paid more attention. You know, I thought everything was okay. It was like a lunch pail, kind of paycheck to paycheck kind of guy my whole life. I didn't really pay attention to, you know, the finances. Yeah. But anyway, So
you had no idea that she was spending this kind of money.
So she comes in with a big wad of cash. So we sat down. So I says to her, Beverly, where the hell is money is coming from, and what the hell has been going on here?
Yeah.
And she came clean and said that she'd been gambling. She'd been gambling for many, many years, and that was the last straw. That was it. I left her the next day. Luckily.
You just walked out? No effort to?
Yeah, I couldn't take. I left everything at the house, and I went down to the bank where this gal worked, you know, buxom gal, and I had been talking to her, you know, through the money problems, and I figured, well, you know, there's... The bank teller might know something about this or not, but anyway, we ended up getting together. And
nice.
Best sex of my life for about 5 years. But anyway, that was here nor there, but it pays to pay attention, you know, to where the finances are going. That's all I'm going to say. Thanks for the call. Good topic.
There he goes. Jerry and Windham. It's here nor there. It's here nor there. My many thanks to you. Hopefully Chad will be back tomorrow beating that bug that he's got. And then it's Twins baseball tomorrow, 2:30 pregame. By this time tomorrow, we're going to be in the Twins pregame show. Jason DeRusho is up next. Drive Time with DeRusho. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Please be safe. I'll be back on the radio with Jordana tomorrow morning. Tune in then.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.